is for offering done. Can I get going? Because apparently I only have 20 minutes. So, alrighty. Just sort of to recap then on last week, we started off last week and I was speaking about Malachi. Yeah, see, maybe I should keep it to 20 minutes if it's starting like that. We started off with Malachi and we spoke about the whole thing of a prophetic, and if we can define the prophetic, if we can just go to that third slide, a prophetic is just very simply a message from God, but that doesn't get to the heart of it. Obviously, the idea of a prophetic, it's a message, it's God communicating. God wants to communicate. God is relational above all because he's a person and a person wants a relationship. So God communicates to us, but the real trick and the real problem is that we live in an orphan world. Sociologically speaking, so many people are orphaned. So many people grow up in houses where there's no dads, or where the dad is perhaps emotionally absent. But a lot of times we struggle sociologically, even speaking about that. But theologically speaking, we all orphans. Doesn't matter what sort of household you come from, because all of us grow up without God. And we need that connection with God. And God then desires to speak with us. And there's something of an orphan within us that God really wants to address and really wants to bring out. And I think last week the emphasis was more on that whole thing of God wanting to address almost that emotional component of our insecurities and our fears and being afraid that we've got to fend for ourselves. One of the most powerful statements that Jesus makes is just talking about God the Father being so omnipotent that he cares for every little bird in this world, that he counts the hair upon our head, that he takes care of every flower. If not so, then how much more will God then not take care of us? So we live in the Father's world, and to hear God's voice accurately, that is a huge component. And it's a bit of a chicken and an egg type of thing. It's very hard to hear God's voice if you feel like an orphan. But on the other hand, if you stay like an orphan, it becomes increasingly difficult to hear God's voice. So the challenge for all of us is to move into that space where we're really children of God. And if you still struggle with that tonight, this is a time to pray through it. And I really feel for us, you know, as human beings, it's very rare for us to have something in one go. To fix this thing and go like, kazam, fixed. All right? Lay my hands on you. Fixed, go. All right? That does happen. But most of the times, it's a bit of a growth process. So if you notice things in your heart, tonight is a time to pray about it. Amen. But then tonight, I want to continue on this whole idea. And where I spoke about a bit more about the emotional component of feeling like an orphan and being on our own, I want to talk a bit more about the confusing bit, almost. And I want to sort of jump a slide of what and directly go for Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm going to look at the example of Abram. And it says the following in Scripture, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, this is a tricky verse for me, I must be honest. I'm a bit of a logical guy. When I look at that, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm assured of things I cannot see. The problem is with what you cannot see is that you're not aware of it. You know, some years ago, the first house we had, we lived out in Century View. We bought a small little two-bedroom house, 300,000 rand. What a bargain, hey? That's what houses cost then. All right, that wasn't that long ago, but that was the case. And my dad actually called me the next day and said, okay, yeah, 20 minutes is going. It's going, it's gone. My dad called me the next day and he said he couldn't sleep because he could never imagine how we're going to pay off a bond of 300,000 rand for a house. Yeah, if you've looked around at house prices, that's actually a bit of a joke now. But anyway, so we were there, and there's a little field outside of it, and it was the middle of winter, and Liesel went out for a shift in Grote Skier. She was still working at Grote Skier. Grote Skier, it's a weird place at night. I just got to say that. I sometimes picked her up there. It's a weird place at night. Anyway, so she was working night shift there. She only came back, she was supposed to come back quite late that evening. And I went for a bit of a jog. I jogged down to the beach. It's the middle of winter, so the sun sets quite quickly. Came back, and it was already dark. And there I was with a choice. Either I could run around the field where there's light, or I can run through the field where it's completely dark. And dudes, you know what I did. I did what every dude would do in this room. I went across the field. All right, I went about 20 steps, then I fell over the first rock. Okay, when I fell, I fell. All right, it was just skin flying everywhere. I mean, I got myself up there because you don't expect to fall. I mean, you're just running across a dark field. I'm not expecting to fall. So anyway, I picked myself up. It takes me a couple of seconds to just get my, you know, breathing going again. And then I'm like, I'm going to do this. So I start jogging again. And another couple of steps on, I fell again. And this time, I really fell. All right. So then I decide I'm done with jogging. I'm sort of crawling, walking, dragging myself across the field. All right. And when I got to the edge of the field and I got into the light again, I don't have my keys. Where's my keys? All right. Now, I only got a t-shirt on, running shorts, middle of winter. My wife is at Groote Schuur doing amazing work there. And I'm in trouble. So what do? I start crawling across a field looking for my keys. Did I find my keys? No. No, of course I didn't find my keys. So back home I go. Now I'm trying to break into my house, but, you know, my dad was a regional magistrate, so I grew up in court. He took me to court a lot, and I know all the horror stories, so there's burglar bars everywhere on my house. So I couldn't break into my own home, couldn't get into the front, decided to jump over the wall and see what's happening at the back. But I'm already sore and stiff, and I'm a bit of a short guy, so it's not that easy to jump across a wall. So as I jump across a wall, I tore my lats a bit. Lats is the muscles here at the back. And it started cramping, and when your lats cramp, you do this. So I was walking like a mini Tyrannosaurus Rex. I'm there in the backyard. I'm bleeding. I'm sore. I'm battered. And I'm shivering. It's cold, man. So eventually, I did find the sliding door that's open, but there's a trolley door behind it, so I still can't get into the house. But now heat is becoming a real problem, and I'm loath to admit it because I'm a tough guy, but it was getting a real problem. So what I did was to sort of press myself against the trolley door and then close the sliding door on myself so I can get some heat from the house. And it actually worked for a while. I did get some heat from the house, and we already had some parrots. We're quite fond of pets. We had some parrots. And one parrot was looking at me, and he looked at me, and then he said, yes, I remember now where he got it from. But he looked at me and went like, shame, Bork. Shame. Huh? Because what would happen is we would drop him, we'd say, oh, shame, peace, Bork, shame, you know. So he was looking at me and we were like, shame. And eventually, that didn't work anymore. So I was walking around in the complex and I found a little room that they kept all the cleaning equipment and the garden equipment. I was sitting there in a cardboard box feeling very sorry for myself. And Liesl then came back, I think 3 o'clock in the morning, she came back. Every time I looked out of a, you know, sort of a door whenever a car would come into the complex. And Liesl came back 3 o'clock and now you know what happened. She drives slowly, she comes up to the house and behind her is a guy walking like this. You know what she did? She drove off. She drove off. Now, that's a problem with what you cannot see. What you cannot see, you're not aware of, and you can fall over it. You can fall over it. And you know what? Why that verse is so tough for me is because it alludes to this problem. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about faith. But it alludes to this problem of deception. And deception is quite a harsh word to use. Perhaps we can rather use the word confusion. But the problem is, if you're deceived, if you're confused about something, often you don't know that you are. Or else you wouldn't be confused. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived. And the issue for all of us is that because we don't grow up with God, to be honest, there must be some area in your life, there must be some area in my life, where I'm actually a bit confused about who God is. I'm not saying you're bad. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you're out there walking like a mini Tyrannosaurus Rex. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is what you don't see, you don't know. But now this is why this verse is so tough for me, if we go back to that verse. Because faith is for confidence. Literally, there's two ways of translating that Greek word. Literally, it means substance. It means something that something is made of. Substance. If this chair is made of wood, I know that it's solid. I can sit on it. It's got substance. It's all right. It's not a figment of my imagination. I can safely sit here. All right. And metaphorically, what that then means is I can trust something. Something is trustworthy. I can be confident of something. Now, faith is a confidence. But what we hope for will actually happen. And it brings us right to the problem of human existence where we're all aware that life is not as it ought to be. Everyone is aware of it. There's no one that goes like everything is perfect out there and in here. No one says that. Everyone is aware that something needs to change. As the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, eternity lives within our hearts. We have a sense of the eternal of God, but we don't know how quite to get there. And we're so aware of how things need to change around us, and therefore it talks about this hope. And it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And I'll keep that in mind. And I want to move on then to the example of Abram. I'm going to finish with that, so let's skip one slide. And let's look at Abram. It says, it was by faith that Abram obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. I know that's challenging. You might know the story of Abram quite well, but let me just state the obvious again. Imagine yourself, all right, this is 6,000 years ago, so it's hard to imagine yourself rocking that fashion of a day. I understand that. But imagine yourself in a similar circumstance. What happens, here's a man, no one knows God around him. Everyone is confused. Everyone is deceived. Who is God? Josephus, a Jewish historian, tells us that Abram initially was a moon worshiper. We don't know if that's true. That was just popular opinion and in the time of Josephus. But he didn't know God. And what happens is he hears this voice that tells him, go. And as he heard this voice, he went. Now think about that for a moment. He was married. All right. Imagine I go home and I say to my wife, we must go. It's like, okay. Go where? I don't know. Why? Because I heard a voice. It's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy. You see, but Abram was living a life of faith. He had something that was happening inside of him. And we'll get now exactly to what it was. But what I want to remind you was that Abram, the Bible tells us, Abram lived for many years, and he never had something that he called his own. He never had land. Remember, he moved initially to the promised land. He never owned land except for the parcel of land that him and his wife was buried on. For the rest of the time, they were no matter, lived in a tent. Now, I don't know about you. You know, when you're growing up, you go to a camp terrain and there's always somebody that used to be like ex-Space Forces or something that's very organized, you know. You know, the camp terrains growing up, there's always somebody that's very organized. They've got a DSTV sort of on their tent mounted. You know, they've got a whole campsite. You can only walk in one way, and then they're sort of, you know, it's like really organized. But for the rest of us, a tent is not that organized. You know, you put it up and it looks like the elephant ran over it. Now imagine living like that your whole life. He was nomadic. I'm sure he got much better at it towards the end, but he was nomadic. Why did he do that? And what the Bible tells us here, and I think that's very important for us for tonight. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land, God promised him, lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abram was confidently looking forward. That's the key words, looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. The honest truth is that Abram saw something else. He saw a greater reality. You see that idiom, seeing is believing? You know that idiom, seeing is believing? And obviously that's meant sort of a cynical way in the sense that you can only believe something if you can really perceive it by your physical senses. It must be true. This must be solid because I can see. I can feel that it's solid. Seeing is believing. But you know, faith is actually a form of seeing. The question is just, what do you see? You see, in right here now, we at the prophetic. Because what is it that's informing my life and what is it that's informing your life? Right now, in your life, you've got a certain voice. I don't mean weird like, all right? But you've got something that ministers to you. You've got something that says to you, these are realities. It might be your thought process. You know what I mean? It sounds a bit abstract. But every day, you're informed by something that tells you, this is how the world works. This is how things are. You've got thought processes going on in your mind. You've got the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you. You might have other spiritual influences trying to speak to you as well. You've got the voices of media, so much, so overwhelming. You've got the voices of friends and colleagues. Every day you've got something speaking to you, telling you how things are. Now, the big question that we're posing here tonight is, by which reality are you living? You see, you can be living by the reality as what I see now. Seeing is believing. What I touch now. This is reality in Cape Town. What I need is I've got to get the best degree I can. I've got to get the best job I can. I've got to climb over everyone as quickly as I can. And I've got to get that salary. I've got to be a certain amount. And I've got to get a certain house. And it's got to look in a certain way. I've got to get a certain spouse. And that person has got to be in a certain way. And then I'll be okay. Then I'll be safe. And we've got voices that minister to us. I'm not saying any of those things are bad. I'm just saying, by which reality are you living? Because Abram, although he lived 6,000 years ago, this man is shaping our lives still. You know that. He's called the father of the faith, of the faithful. He is shaping our lives still. Why? Because he saw a greater reality. And the reality that he saw was a city built without hands, whose architect and builder is God. He saw the eternal city. He saw Jerusalem, not just in its current setting, not just what we find in the Middle East today, but beyond that, he saw a heavenly city, a city built by God. And he shaped his life according to that. Now, here's the thing. Whatever you believe, faith is a very human thing. Everyone believes. Richard Dawkins, the biggest atheist, the most militant atheist you'll probably find, he believes something. He believes there's no God. And he shapes his life according to that. Whatever you really believe, you will shape your life according to. It's just a fact. That's just how the human experience works. And your faith is based on what you actually are seeing. So what are you seeing? Now that brings us back to the quandrum, the problem. And the problem is, there's many things we don't see and many things we don't know. Can we accurately say, can you actually say that you walk around in Cape Town and you see Cape Town as Christ, as Jesus is seeing Cape Town? I can't honestly say that. What do you see when you look at Cape Town? What do you see when you see the mountain? What do you see when you see another person? Can I honestly say I see it as Jesus sees it? Maybe not. Perhaps a slight bit. Perhaps a lot. But what reality is it that informs? What is it that I'm actually seeing? And I think the challenge for all of us tonight, and what I'd like to pray over us tonight as we finish with this, you know, tonight we're going to go into a time of worship. And the thing is not so much just seeing God as it is coming down from the mountain after seeing God. You know, the Israelites, did you guys start with that example? I wasn't here when you started the sermon, the worship. You didn't start with that. Moses goes up the mountain. Remember, Israelites were called in the Exodus, were called out of Egypt to go and worship God. Moses goes up the mountain. He sees God. Now, and for many of us, that's where we stop. We might have, and I think this is an important bit for tonight, so forget everything else that I said if you want to, but remember this, please. I love it if you remember this. But if you want to forget everything else and remember this, for many of us, it's all about going up a mountain and experiencing God. For God, it's all about you going down from the mountain and living very different, seeing things very different. So the invite for us tonight, we're going to go into a time of worship. What we're going to do is we're going to prophesy over the city. We're going to speak over the city. But the big idea here is let's draw into the presence of God, because from His perspective, we must learn to see things as He sees things, because we are here upon this earth to make a difference. We're here to make a difference. And what is my faith? What will I stand in faith for? You know, for many believers, and I get that, and maybe I'm exactly the same, I'm not knocking anyone else, but for many believers, it's just hanging on until I die or Jesus comes again. And that's faith to be commended already. You know, blessed is he who endures to the end, for he shall receive a crown of life. But it just seems to me like that cannot be all that there is. It seems to me we're meant to change things around us, and that takes faith. Now, what is the reality that you see? What is the big things that you see? And you see, I think, can I just be really honest here for a moment? I think in terms of this congregation, not that I haven't been honest, but let me just put it out there. I think for this congregation, I actually think the prophetic comes quite easily for us. I know you think it doesn't, but it does. People don't struggle hearing something from God here. I tell you what is perhaps a challenge here. Okay, please don't throw me with a hymnal or something. Presbyterians have got heavy hymnals. You know what's a big issue for us, I think? The big issue for us is to be like Abram that obeys when God speaks. Because if God really does speak, it will challenge your way of living. It will challenge my way of living. And that challenge never stops. I thought it would stop some stage, like when I'm a pastor, then God will leave me and I will do my thing. I'll be okay. God will leave me because I've made it now. I'm a pastor now. I've proven my faithfulness, I think. Don't speak to my wife. But I think in reality, God always challenges our lifestyle and how we live and what we do. So I think the big challenge for all of us, myself included, is not so much hearing what God is saying, but being obedient to it. And if we're obedient to it, then God will bring about change. Now, I must warn you, there's a price to that obedience. Abram walked around for 25 years. And he said to God, where's your promise? You promised me certain things, you didn't do it. For many of us, myself included, if God doesn't answer me in the first week, I'm considering other methods and strategies. All right? Let's be honest now, I'm exactly the same as you. Well, perhaps I'm on my own in front here, but that's what we do, right? It does not mean that this life of faith is without challenge. It is certainly challenging. But a life of faith brings about change because it lives in a bigger reality, a deeper reality. Let it not be said of us of this generation, you know, all that we did in Cape Town is get as much as we can, enjoy the mountains as much as we can, get as much sunlight as we can when eventually it comes out. And that was it. Let it not be said of this church and this generation of churches in South Africa. But what is the difference that we make? And that is a life of faith. And that sometimes that's very hard. It is really hard, believe me. You know that. I know that. But what is the reality that I see and that I live according to? So what we're going to do tonight, won't you just stand with me, please? And I'm going to pray for us all. I'm going to pray, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Let me see as you see. You know, the biblical pattern is this. The biblical pattern is this. Somebody goes and they see, they feel, and they do. Jesus comes, he becomes human, he becomes flesh. He sees what is from the heart of man, the Bible tells us. He feels compassion for us, and then he goes and he dies on the cross. Nehemiah goes. He goes to Jerusalem. He sees the wall is broken down. He mourns in his heart, and then he rebuilds the wall. And I think for many of us, this is a challenge. Go see what God shows you. See it. then feel what is in the heart of God, then do something. Then do something. But the life of faith is what is important here. So the big question for all of us is, what is it that you actually see? What is it that you're seeing in Cape Town? What is it that you're seeing around you? And let's pray tonight that God will open our eyes. What we're going to do, we're going to do some worship. And then we're going to open the front. So that if you've got a prophetic word, if you've got an impression, you've got a word, you've got a vision, perhaps you've had a dream about the city and about what God wants to do in the city and about what this church is supposed to do in the city, then come to the front and we're going to pray over it. Amen? But tonight we're going to see the city in a different way. We're going to see it as a city built without human hands. The city that God wants to build. Because God is an architect and builder here. What is it that he wants to build? I mean, let's close our eyes and let's pray. And then we're going to start worshiping. Lord, we just thank you that you speak to us. And tonight we know that we're not worthy of you speaking to us. All of us, we fall from God. None of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And therefore tonight we just lay down that whole worth thing. That can God speak to me because I'm worthy? And the answer is no, none of us are worthy. We're not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of you speaking to me. But tonight our emphasis is not on our own worth. Tonight our emphasis is on Jesus. And we thank you that by Jesus we are made worthy. Not because of our intrinsic worth. We might be very holy, we might be very unholy, but we thank you that Jesus speaks all the time. And we thank you that the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. And tonight we're not lifting out of fleshly and selfish desire our own eyes and say, God, I want to feel special about myself. But we lift our eyes to you and we say, let us see you. Let us go up a mountain. But above all, change the way in which we see. I pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes in this time. I pray for something very spiritual to happen. I pray that even in our dreams and our sleep, even our way of speaking, even our way of thinking about the city, I pray that you will show us your mind for the city. I pray that you will show us your heart for the city. I pray that you will show us your plans for the city. And not just for the city at large, but for every person in the city. Show us the person that we're sitting across to in the coffee shop. Show us the colleague that we're sitting next to at work. Show us the neighbor that we pass by every day. Show us how you see them. And I pray for a life of faith that we will obey and go and do as you wish. In the name of Jesus, let's worship together.